You are listening to WXOJ LP in Northampton, Valley Free Radio, broadcasting at 103.3 FM and streaming live at valleyfreeradio.org. Valley Free Radio is a nonprofit, volunteer-run station that depends on donations from listeners like you. Please support independent local community radio. Visit valleyfreeradio.org to make a tax-deductible donation today. Thank you for your support.
They can have the Cadillac and T-Bone, but give me my rocking bicycle for two.
Thank you, Antoine Fats Domino. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Today is Tuesday, May 18th, I think so, May 18th. It's Fun to Drive week, and I'm live in the studio. It's 2021, just in case you wondered if I was playing a recorded show from Tuesday, May 18th, from the last year that it was May 18th on a Tuesday. No, I'm live in the studio, 2021. So if you would like to contribute or pledge on the phone by calling me in the studio, you can do that. Today, not when I'm talking, when I'm playing some recorded clip or song, you can call 585-1033. If you would like to donate, you can also donate online at valleyfreeradio.org/donate. Thanks to everyone who has donated so far. So for today's show, I've picked some highlight clips from things that I've played over the years. But first, my little story of the day. No, before the story, I want to remind people that today is the Tuesday Farmers Market in downtown Northampton. Also, Wednesday, the Florence Farmers Market will be happening in Florence. And, all right, here's my little story of the day. So I was hauling trash today, like I do lots of days on my bike and trailer. And I dropped my load, and then I was coming back up the bike path. So if you live in Northampton or Florence, we have this amazing bike path. Well, if you live in East Hampton or Hadley or Amherst or Haydenville, like, we have this amazing bike path system. Well, multi-use trail system. And I live on the trail in Florence, and the stretch between, like, Northampton and Florence, the woods there, kind of between Hatfield Street and Straw Ave. It's a really beautiful stretch of woods where the railroad bed is built up high, I don't know, 30 feet higher than the ground stream level down below. But it's just like a tunnel of green, and it was like late morning and I was biking through there and I was just like, wow, this is so beautiful. Like sunlight filtering through the yellowish green, the bright green leaves, spring leaves, fresh spring leaves on the maples and oaks and elms, birches, cherries. And there were birds singing. And it was so beautiful. I just had to stop for a minute. And so I sat down on a fallen log to take it all in. And I was just like, wow, this is a piece of heaven right here. And I just wanted to share that with some other being that I could talk with. And the next person coming up the path, I saw one of my neighbors walking up the path. And when he got close, I was like, wow, this is a real piece of heaven right here, huh? And he had looked my way for a minute before I started talking, but he had looked back straight ahead when I started talking. And he didn't respond when I said anything. He just kept looking straight ahead and walking. And then I saw he had earbuds in. And I was like, oh. I told this story to my housemate, Alex, right after I got home. And Alex was like, well, maybe he was in his own heaven. Anyway, so I have a one verse parody about feeling invincible that I wrote today during my route. I like to write little parody songs. I'm working on a parody song that I'm actually going to record, and I'd love to make a music video for, and I've shared it with some of my friends about Holland Trash. But that, well, hold tight. That will be coming, hopefully in July, when I get back from Kentucky. So here's today's one verse parody of the day. These are the days, my friend, I think they'll never end. And when I die, I'll still be in my prime. I'll bike a mile or two, I'll bike a mile or ten, I'll get that high, and then I'll fly to bed and do it all again. All right. Thanks for listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Here is a little clip from Kentucky.
Is anybody interested in bidding on the box of jeans or good jeans? They're all clean jeans. I take them to the laundromat and keep them washed when I haul them around sale. $5? $5 bid you go $7.50. $5 bid you want a $7.50 anywhere. $5 bid you get a $7.50 to go anywhere. $5 bid you get $6. $5 bid you want a $6 anywhere. Get a $6 to go anywhere. $5 bid you get a $6 anywhere. $5 bid you get a $6. $5 bid you give $6. $6 bid you give $5. $6 bid you give $7. $7 bid you go $8. $7 bid you go $9. $9 bid you give $10. $10 bid you give $11. $11 bid you give $12. $12 bid you give $14. $14 anywhere. $12 bid you give $14. $14 anywhere. $12 bid you give $14. $14 anywhere. $12 bid you give $14. $12 2 2 2.
Jesus is making on the dying day. Lord, I
So I was thinking about coming to downtown Middlesbrough to hold a sign in solidarity with people holding signs around the country about immigration or breaking down walls or whatever. And I asked my brother and my dad, it's like, you ever see anyone in Middlesbrough holding any signs? And they're like, nope, nobody but the Liberty Tax person. And so I'm going through Middlesbrough on a Sunday afternoon, and here's the Liberty Tax person. And what are you doing today?
Holding the sign.
What's your sign say?
Get $50 now.
Do you get any, do you have much human contact? I mean, do people talk to you or wave or anything?
Yeah, they normally like beep or wave. Some people come out here and talk to me for a while.
Uh-huh. Do you have friends that come out and say hi?
Yeah, I do. A lot of people.
Uh-huh. How often do you do it?
Weekdays, I go from 4 to 6. And then Saturday and Sunday, I work from 1 to 5.
What's your favorite part of the job?
I actually like standing out here talking to people, getting to know different people. Mm-hmm. So it's actually fun.
Uh-huh. Do you have any least favorite parts?
Standing out here for a long time when it's cold.
Yeah.
Like last Sunday when it snowed, I had to stand out here from 1 to 5.
Did your feet get cold?
Not my feet. Like my hands get cold.
Did you have gloves?
No, I don't like wearing gloves.
Do you have any stories of anything interesting that's happened to you while you've been out here?
Well, not really. Like, the police come out here and they ask me how I'm doing. One woman yesterday came out here and she had a box full of food and she gave me some snacks so I can eat. She said she didn't want me to be hungry. Uh-huh. They're really nice.
Uh-huh. Are you in school?
Yes, ma'am. 10th grade. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to introduce yourself? You can if you want, if you don't.
My name is Kashia Galloway. I'm 16 years old.
Alright. How do you think this area compares to other places? I don't know, your experience or experience of other people in your family?
It's actually like smaller, so like you know more people. They're friendly though, so I like that.
Mm-hmm. Anything that you would change if you could?
Open more places. Like, they don't have, like, when I used to live, there always used to be, like, a 7-Eleven around the corner, so you could just walk to the corner store and buy, like, slushies in the summer when it's hot. They could open more.
Oh, how do you get to work?
I actually walk. I live, like, 5 minutes away from here, so I just walk.
Oh. Wait, so for this job, does Liberty Taxes do your taxes for your job, or do you have to pay taxes?
When I get paid, they take taxes out of my paycheck.
Yeah. You have to file or something? I don't know. No, well, you know what? Have you heard of war tax resistance?
No.
That's... All right, sorry. That clip sort of... That was the end of that clip. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Those clips I just played were from Kentucky, from a recent trip, maybe last year or the year before. The older you get, the more recent a year ago seems. And anyway, so those were from Kentucky, just a few random clips, auctioneer and a Mount Moriah Baptist Church and the Liberty Tax person, Middlesbrough, Kentucky. That's like kind of where I was from, where I am from, that kind of area. And I'm going back next week for a month to see my family. Thanks to Johanna for your contribution to Valley Free Radio during this fun drive, during this show, while the other clips were playing. Thanks for calling in and donating. And my next clip is also a little flashback. This one is an interview with Francis Crow, RIP, talking about some Hospital Hill and her involvement in... a building and a campaign there back when around the state hospital you know, I don't even remember, honestly, so I'll just let Francis talk. It's like 14 minutes of history here.
Take off the boards, July 14th, 1988. On July 14th, homeless people and their supporters across the country will demonstrate their concern over the mounting shortage of affordable housing and their commitment to the $20 billion a year Affordable Housing Act, now awaiting congressional action. Most people will occupy abandoned buildings, focusing attention on their proliferation, while large and rapidly growing numbers of Americans are homeless or living in substandard, overcrowded, or overpriced housing. In 1980, the U.S. spent 7 In 1980, the U.S. spent $7 on defense for every $1 spent on housing. Today, the ratio is $44 to $1. Demonstrate your commitment and concern by acting with others in your area on July 14th, 1988. It's put out by the Community for Creative Nonviolence out of Washington, D.C. It was July 14th, 1988.
1988.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Mike Kirby, yes,
can I sit here?
Out on that, you were locked the brakes. There was a lot of homelessness in Northampton back in 1988, and no provisions for them.
No shelters or anything?
No shelters. Mm-hmm. And the Unitarians were interested. They were trying to meet the needs, and there were young people who were camping in their own tents out on the lawn of the Unitarian Society. And Mike Kirby came to me, and he said there was this national movement to take off the boards nationwide of all the good housing that was sitting empty. And why didn't we all go in and take off the boards that were boarding them up and take over? And he had this idea to go. There was a house up on Hospital Hill that I think had belonged to the manager, and it was in fairly good shape, and it had been empty over 10 years and just boarded up. And he had this idea that that weekend some of us would go up and take it over. So he wanted to know if I would join them. And I thought about it, and I thought, yes, why not? And so we were very quiet. We didn't tell anyone. Margaret MacDonald, who was head of religious education at the Unitarians, was asked, and she agreed to do it. And one other woman whose name I can't think right now. She was Santiago, or she was an African, a Hispanic woman, very articulate and fiery. And so we chose that weekend to go in early in the morning. So we all packed up a little bag of things that we would need if we were detained there. And he had, Mike had also talked to Don Ogden about planting a garden. So we gathered and went in, and I went to the back door, and I had a hammer, I think, that I broke the glass on the back door and reached in with my hand and turned the knob to open it. And then we had, you know, lots of Clorox and things for cleaning and rags, and we all went to work cleaning up the house. And I remember the dirt was so thick, and but we got it going. And I guess Mike knew how to turn on the water and the electricity, so in the basement, so we, you know, were operating, and we expected to be removed any moment. And Don Ogden was out in the backyard planting a garden with some people, and it was, you know, just a good action. And about, you know, lunchtime, some people came in, state troopers, I think, who said it was time for us to leave, that we were violating an order, that there was no trespassing. But there were no trespassing signs that I saw. And we talked to them for a while, and we persuaded them to let us stay for the weekend, at least.
And they wrote a little note, scribbled it on a piece of scrap paper, and stuck it on the front door, that we were not to allow anyone else in the house. Uh-huh. We four could stay there, but we were not to let anyone else in. And so they put it on the front door, which was fine. But and we were to stay there. And I remember at one point, after it got dark, I did leave to go home, get my TV and VCR, because that was the time that the film Steve Biko, who was South African political activist, had been arrested or picked up and killed while in custody. And I wanted them to see the film. And also, at one point, when Mike was cleaning up, he cut his arm, the vein, it was actually the artery of his arm. Uh-huh. And some, I don't know what he was doing, but reaching in on some heavy glass.
Yeah.
And he was taken quickly to Cooley Dickinson for to get his arm fixed. They put a tourniquet. I think it was Don Ogden who took him up, and so that he managed to leave and come back. But we had, you know, our sleeping bags, and we were planning to sleep there on the floor that night. And so, you know, we were going along fine, and I was, you know, we were watching the Steve Biko movie about 11 o'clock when the troopers came and said, "You're all under arrest. We're taking you to jail now." And so we refused to go, and so they did take us to the police station, which is where they held us, and it was then out on route 5 north above River Valley Market. And that, I think, was not a pleasant experience. We were held there, and I don't know whether the attendants were so angry that we were there and holding them all weekend, that the woman who was to watch the women, if we went to the toilet, she went in and stood there by us to be sure that we weren't, I don't know what she expected, but she was very angry with us. But then we went to court on Monday, and Tom Lesser had agreed to represent us. And when I was arrested and left, I grabbed that note on the door and stuck it in my pocket. And I showed it to Tom Lesser when we went to court. And he showed it to the judge. So the judge said, "Case dismissed." He didn't prosecute us. He said, "You know, you had the right to stay there until Monday." I think they were just glad to get rid of us. But anyway, it activated the Unitarians and the community to really, and the Unitarians said, "We want that house," which later became the Grove Street Inn. And it's a served a real important need since then. So I think that's what I think of now when I see this St. Mary's Rectory, this three-story brick building in good shape. I think there are six apartments in it that were for different priests. So I know that there were priests. There was one who was retired who was living there, and they another one who that from various churches around. They lived there, and they had kind of a community. And I think, you know, the roof seems to be in good shape. It isn't like St. Mary's. And the office of the diocese is in the basement, which is fine. But I think that could become the Grove Street Inn for refugees living in Northampton. And I have mentioned it to a couple of people, and the mayor knows it, and Elise Klein knows about it, but nothing seems to be happening. And so, you know, sometimes I think I should go there, break the glass and go in. But I would need a lot of support. And I don't know that I have that. So anyway.
Well, do you know what the Catholic Church, what the diocese plans are? Or why
exactly.
This is happening?
That's the thing, Ruthie. I feel that if it's Catholic Charities that has proposed that they bring these refugees here, mm-hmm. so the Catholic Church could give us that building.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Yeah.
And, you know, then we don't have to raise the money.
Yeah.
And nobody else seems to be coming forth in Northampton to offer a house uh-huh. or an apartment.
Uh-huh. So do you know anyone in the Catholic Church to talk to, or are they unresponsive, or have there been conversations?
Well, I haven't located that person yet. I think it would be, you know, maybe Mary McMahon. She is a deacon in the church, so she visits, you know, the sick and uh-huh. elderly and performs various functions that the priests can't all do.
All right. How do I get a hold of her? Because I want to ask her, well, who do we talk to? Like, I have no idea what the power structure is and who's
and she's,
deciding and these things.
I guess someone needs to go and talk to the people in that office in the basement.
So there's someone there in that office?
They often are there. Okay. And it would be fun if you could go and talk to them. Because, you know, it's been publicly suggested that uh-huh. I had suggested this. Uh-huh. So maybe you can help move it along.
Yeah. Do you think they're there right now? Do you think anyone's there right now?
Might be.
All right.
Might very well be.
I'll go check.
And you can talk to the mayor, say.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm old and weak and... You know, I can sit here with ideas. My head is still functioning.
Yeah.
Fortunately.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, and at Forbes Library, we're showing two very good films.
Oops, I'll have to fade that out because that's a little dated. So that clip was with Frances Crowe. Frances Crowe, peace activist from Northampton, born March 15th, 1919. Died August 27, 2019. I think that interview was probably from around 2018. Pretty recent. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. This week is Fund Drive, so we're putting out special effort to receive your donations. Thanks to everyone who supports the station. So Valley Free Radio, it's all volunteer run, and any money that you give goes to pay just like basic expenses of the studio, the electric bill, rent, things like that. You can donate online at valleyfreeradio.org. And when you donate to Valley Free Radio, we won't send you a piece of mail every month reminding you to donate again. we'll just say thank you. So, yeah, our goal for this drive is $4,000. Is that supposed to say that? I'm not sure. Valley Free Radio, it's a great station to support, and I love it because anyone has the opportunity to do a show and we're not beholden to any advertisers. I can kind of say what I want on the air as long as I don't cuss and it's not offensive. So if you'd like to call in to give a pledge, you can call 585-1033 when I'm playing a clip, or you can donate online. Very quick and easy with those electronic devices. Go to valleyfreeradio.org/donate. Now I'm going to play a recent clip from, so, all right, that you're listening to out there. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. This clip, so I took a 22-hour vacation last weekend, and I went to Greenfield. I took the bus up to Greenfield, spent the night with a friend, and then just sort of meandered around Greenfield all Friday morning, and just on my bike, and just followed whichever way the wind blew or my curiosity took me, and this is what I got.
So I'm in Greenfield. Ran into a friend.
Hi, my name is Jasper Lapienski. I own a house at 34 Washington Street in Greenfield.
And so I was riding down Washington Street, which parallels Deerfield Street, which I never go on. And then I saw a bunch of chickens in a yard and a little sign about chicken co-op. Jasper, you're a member of the co-op. Can you just say just a little bit about how it works?
Yeah, so it is called the Cheapside Egg Share, also known as the Coop Co-op. This is just the information, right? So they did this last year too, and this year I am a member stopgap until they can get someone who wants to do the full year. And basically the way it works is 7 individuals or families buy into it. There's a fee, and it's complicated. It's not like, it's not cheaper than buying your own eggs at a store, but it's more fun, and you get to learn how to do things for yourself. And basically, you pick a day of the week. That day of the week, you do all the chores, you look after the chickens, and you collect all the eggs for that day. And then on Tuesday, or, you know, whatever, the next person does it Wednesday. And it was all sort of the brainchild of a chicken farmer in Greenfield named Martin Anderton, who is one of the coolest people I've ever met. Who's still trying to figure out exactly, like, how to make the whole thing work, mm-hmm. but he thinks he knows where he's going, mm-hmm. and I'm willing to support it.
And Rabbi Andrea, was
someone
else that you...
All that saying, I'm trying to turn off that clip. Stop. So that talk of chickens reminds me of foxes, and here I have an interview with my niece, Christina, who lives on a farm in southwestern Virginia.
So Christina, I heard you caught a fox with your bare hands. Like, what happened?
Well, something had been up eating my poultry several nights. I'd seen something, but I just had a really dim light, so I couldn't tell what it was, but whatever it was, it did not have much fear of me. So I'd be in the coop and it would come like right up and be eating my chickens, my ducks, like right out the door.
You heard it, you saw its eyes, or how did you...
Yes, I would see its eyes, and kind of, I got a glimpse of its body, but like I said, my light was so dim, I couldn't see more than about 10 feet. Mm-hmm. And then one day I heard our cows making an awful racket, so I went to go check it out, and they were kind of looking over the fence, and I said, well, I'll go over there and see what they're looking at, and there was a fox. And I'm like, well, this is what's been eating my chickens. So I said, well, I can't just let it run away. And it was just kind of sitting there with its head on the ground. I thought it was eating something. And I said, well, no, it's not. And I'm like, well, I can't just go grab this thing. What am I going to do? I can't let it run away. So I was wearing like a jumper, and I had a t-shirt and capris underneath. So I unbuttoned the buttons as quick as I could, and I walked up
in
my
hand, yes, trying to keep it. Were you afraid it would run away?
Yes, I was. So I was kind of trying to hold my light on it, and then I thought it would start running when I threw my dress on it. Like, I thought the feeling of something on it, but it didn't. It just stood there, and so I said, "Well, okay." So I reached out and I like grabbed it on its back, and then grabbed its tail and started running for the house as fast as I could, and then I went running inside and I was yelling, I caught a fox, and my family was like, you what? And I'm like, really? And so they all came running around the corner, and they were so surprised because I brought it in the kitchen. So yeah, then we put it in the cage, and Dad and I took it to a natural area preserve, a wildlife refuge place, and let it go there. But
and then you went back out, and then what happened?
Well, and then I went back out, and I heard our dog barking, and so...
Well, like, what time of night would you say it was by now?
It was maybe 12 o'clock by midnight. Then, uh-huh. By the time we drove to the place and let it go and came back. And our dog was barking the kind of bark he barks when he smells an animal. And I realized he was sniffing through the fence in our garden, so I opened the gate and called him through, and he went off tracking it, and I ran off after him, and then there's a possum. And so he kind of pounced on it, I guess, and it played dead, and then he ran off. And I said, this possum isn't dead, it's just playing dead. So I grabbed it by the tail and ran inside. I ran in the kitchen, and I said, I caught another one. So then I did the poultry, and I went back out to milk the cows. And what do you think I saw but another set of eyes? And I'm like, well, that must be a cat, because wild animals usually don't just get this close. And then I got a little closer. I said, wait, that's a raccoon, and it's walking straight towards me. This is kind of weird. It's almost like I'm dreaming. I just walk up to a fox and catch it, and I get a possum, and now he's a coon just walking straight towards me. But there's a fence I had to jump over to get there. When I jumped, that kind of startled it, and I thought I saw it run up a big cherry tree, so I went up the tree after it, and I looked all through that tree, and I couldn't find it anywhere, but I guess a fox and a possum is enough for a night anyway. But I say that the dog helped me catch the possum, and the cows helped me with the fox. I think the way it was acting, I'm thinking a cow probably kicked it or something, mm-hmm. because it was acting a little... Like, even when we were driving to the place and stuff, it's kind of had its head down uh-huh. some of the time, so.
Either way.
Yeah. I didn't have any help with the coon, so that wasn't successful.
Cool. Thank you for sharing. And that was my niece, Christina Moyer, from the farm she lives on in Castlewood, Virginia, in southwestern Virginia. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio.
Fox went out on a chilly night. He prayed for the moon to give him light, for he'd many a mile to go that night before he reached the town. Oh, town, oh, town, oh, many a mile to go that night before he reached the town. Oh, well, he ran till he came to a great big pen where the ducks and the geese were kept therein. A couple of you are gonna grease my chin before I leave this town. Oh, town, oh, town, oh, a couple of you are gonna grease my chin before I leave this town, oh. He grabbed the gray goose by his neck, flung the duck across his back. He didn't mind the quack, 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 and the legs all dangling down, oh. Down, oh, down, oh, he didn't mind the quack, 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 and the legs all dangling down, oh. He ran till he came to his den, and there were the little ones, 8, 9, 10. Daddy, daddy, better go back again, cause it must be a mighty fine town, oh. Town, oh, town, oh, saying, daddy, daddy, better go back again, cause it must be a mighty fine town, oh. Then the fox and his wife, without any strife, cut up the goose with a fork and a knife. They never had such a supper in their life, and the little ones chewed on the bones, oh, bones, oh, bones, oh. They never had such a supper in their life, and the little ones chewed on the bones, oh.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure one of the ducks in our yard got taken off by a fox a couple weeks ago, but the duck escaped and it came back a few hours later looking a little bit wounded. So I got sympathy for the wild animals. I wouldn't, you know, if they make off with some fattened up domestic creature that has all the creature comforts, I kind of have to cheer that fox on a little bit. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I got a few announcements to make. This is from the Surge, Western Mass Surge email list, or it's also on their Facebook page. You can go to Western Mass S-U-R-J, showing up for racial justice, Facebook page or website for this. So here's a support for Palestine. Contact your representative and urge them to co-sponsor H.R. 2590, the Palestinian Children and Families Act, to promote and protect the human rights of Palestinians living under Israeli military occupation and to ensure that the United States taxpayer funds are not used by the government of Israel to support the military detention of Palestinian children, the unlawful seizure, appropriation, and destruction of Palestinian property, and forcible transfer of civilians in the West Bank, or further annexation of Palestinian land in violation of international law. You can check out the bill. Well, there's a link. Jewish Voice for Peace has, if you go to their website, jewishvoiceforpeace.org, they've made it easy to write a letter to your representative. So check that out. Also coming up, there's a Movement Mingle. Have you been wondering who else is doing redistribution work? Come connect with curiosity and playfulness. Join a mingle space with facilitated intro questions in small groups, dance breaks, and opt-in space to connect around shared identity and interests. I think that's a lot. I think that has to do with like reparations and stuff like that. Not entirely sure, but you can find more information on the Western Mass Surge website or Facebook page. Okay, next on Out There, here's another little clip blip from a year or two ago. Here's Marty Nathan.
I'm Marty Nathan, and I'm on the bus, the P-21 Express from Springfield to Holyoke, and I'm going to take the B-48 from Holyoke to Northampton. I'm on my way from work to home, and I'm on the bus even though I have a car because I think I like to ride the bus.
Hi, my name is Benji, and I'm from Long Island, New York, and I am on a bus between Columbus and Cleveland, Ohio.
How did you happen to be on the bus today?
To be on the bus because I completed a bus ride from Cincinnati to Columbus to visit a bike ride from Cincinnati to Columbus, and now I am on my way back home to New York.
And your bike is on the bus too?
My bike is on the bus. They gave me a little flack that it's on the bus without a box, but I was given one warning, and so it is on the bus.
Do you take the bus often?
I'll trains, a lot more trains, but buses connect some of the cities. The trains aren't everywhere. Mm-hmm. But the buses are helpful. They link up a lot of the smaller cities. So I do take I've had my bike on trains and buses.
Do you drive?
Yes, I do. My bike lives in the car. When it's not on a trail or a bus or train.
Do you have any preference when you're traveling long distance to, well, I guess you kind of already said trains. Is that true?
Right. Train is the first choice, but trains don't go everywhere. So I dig buses and the trains, yes.
And then do you ever drive long distance?
Generally not. What I like to do is, if I don't have a bike with me, going to different cities, getting off, taking bike shares, Chicago, Denver, Philadelphia, all great cities that have good bike shares.
Can you say a word about the trip from Cincinnati to Columbus on bicycle?
The trip was eventful. I'm not a big cell phone person per se, but once in a while I do need to contact people. And this is unusual that you're in small towns and you need some help to get connected. And I found that America doesn't have to be great again. It's already great because people are very helpful. They're looking at me coming in like a wet dish rag and in the heat and the humidity, making sure I'm good. Do I need food? Do I need drinks? I need to call anybody. So the small towns in Ohio, everyone was really great to me.
That was someone that I met on the Greyhound bus. I did a little series of like bus profiles of people that I met there. And, well, I guess I'll play this one of my favorite biking songs by Shakira and Carlos Vives. Thanks for tuning in to Out There Today. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Out There airs Tuesdays from 3 until 4, followed by Madness Radio up at 4, Democracy Now! At 5, The Enviro Show at 6, Farm to Fork at 7, Twilight's Poetry Pub at 8, Adventure Rocket Ship at 9, and lots of other good local shows, some syndicated shows, but a lot of local shows here on Valley Free Radio. And we are excited to get any donations from our listeners today, this week. This is Fund Drive Week. And your donations will keep this programming on the air. The station's all volunteer run, and your money goes far.
You can donate online at valleyfreeradio.org/donate, or you can call in and make a pledge when I'm playing a song at 413-585-1033. That's 585-1033 here at the studio in Florence. Valley Free Radio, there's a lot of alternative, or a lot of voices that are heard on this station that don't always make it into mainstream media. So you can go on our website, Valley Free Radio, check out some of those shows. I'm looking at the list right now, trying to look at some of my favorites. Well, there's lots of new shows always coming online too, and I can't, are coming. And I can't always remember all the new shows. So, Sundays at 7, straight to the music. Miasha Lee, I like that show. Anyway, if you'd like to donate online, again, it's valleyfreeradio.org/donate. And the phone number here in the studio, 585-1033. Thanks to Alex Jarrett and Sarah Howard for their donation earlier today. Out there, continues for a few more minutes. And so I will play another. No, here's a poem from a young woman named Jasmine.
I have something that I wrote back on the day of the Trump election that I wanted to read. Today I looked up at the trees and asked, How do you stay so strong? Don't you know the tragedies that have befallen us? As the winds rustled through the autumn leaves, red and gold fell to the ground and the tree nodded at me. The skies mourn the day. The rain falls like silent tears over the faces of man, and us fragile humans can't help but to cry out. We are in pain. There is so much pain. How? I demanded from the tree. How are you so strong? The tree answered me then. I have stood through worse than this. I have weathered storms and human cruelty. I bear the grief of my ancestors and yours. But my roots remain in this ground. I can reach out and touch the earth that still holds me after all this time. I have lost my leaves and gained new ones. I know how to be born again. Every year, I watch the world around me, and I'm not without grief for your people. But these rings inside of me, they hold me together. With each new ring I grow, I become stronger than I was before. As do you, child. As do your people. Though you do not know it, the people around you, they are your rings. You must let them become your strength. Your rings, your roots. Do not let fear and hate make you weak. You need only reach out your hand and gain a new ring. You are strong. Your people are strong. But you do not know your true strength yet. You do not know the power that you have to change this world. You understand how hate can change things. And we have all suffered for that. You do not yet understand, love, how very strong love is. You are afraid of both, but I think that you may fear love more than hate. And child, I fear that. But hate, it is powerful. Hate is the fire that you light for your comfort and leave unattended. How very quickly it spreads and kills your people and mine. But love, child, love is the light from the sun. It is not always there to warn you, and you do not always see it when it is there, but it does linger. It radiates, even through the cloudiest of days, to give life to your people and mine. It gives life to all. Be that light. Learn from it. Radiate love. Take the hands of the people around you and become stronger so that you may also weather the storms and the change of seasons and come back even more beautiful than before. But you cannot do it alone. You are strong enough to fight, but to carry the weight of the world, A tree with no rings will break.